I want to go back to Seder Korach and tie it together with something from Pinchas. So a few weeks ago and next week, which is at least something relevant, and the topic is relevant also, especially for a kehila such as this, which is a kehila. We'll start with Korach, and then we'll tie it together with an incident in Pinchas. Korach came and made the following claim. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvesocham Hashem umadua tisnasu al kahal Yisrael. Basically, he was saying, why is there a need for leaders? Right? Why are you making yourselves great over the Jewish people? Everybody's holy. God is amongst us all. Why do we need a Kohen Gadol? Right? Everybody could be a Kohen Gadol. Why do we need one Melech? Everybody could be a Melech. Right? Why do we need a central authority figure? Because Lecha'ora, authority figures are of two kinds in Klal Yisrael. There is the Kohen Gadol, whose job is to direct the Jewish people towards Dveikus Bashem, to direct their attention to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to elevate them, make them more holy. He's the Shliach of Klal Yisrael in Kedusha. So his complaint was, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Now there are three designations of the Tzibur. Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael. The Eda, I think Rav Shlomo Shimon Folher says it, others say similar ideas. An Eda is a community that testifies towards the same principles. Edus. Eda is from Lashon Edus. Others say that Eda comes from the word Yad. Destination. They all have the same goals, the same destinations, same idea. Okay. So, ki kol ha'eda. When it comes to an Eda, you need someone to give them direction, to keep them focused on what the goals are, to make them holy. But kol ha'eda, kulam kedoshim. This Eda is totally holy. So what do we need a Kohen Gadol for? And ubesocham Hashem. Then there's another leader. That leader is called a melech. One of the primary functions of a melech is to unite the people around him. He's like the heart of the Jewish people, and everything else unites around him. Vayehi bishurun melech, v'yisasef roshei om, yachad shivtei Yisrael. The melech gives achdus, gives one focus that everybody can unite. So, and that, Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach said, ubesocham Hashem. We don't need a melech to unite us. We have God. His Shechina dwells in the middle of Klal Yisrael. We all dwell around that Mishkan where the Shechina is. The Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why do we need, umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem? Kahal is a congregation from the Lashon of congregating. They congregate together. Nikahalu ha-Yehudim. They gather together. Physical gathering. Eda is more spiritual commonality of purpose. Here, it's everybody physically congregating in the same place. So you need somebody to unite them. To give them one focal point that everybody can congregate around. But ubesocham Hashem, we don't need a melech to do that. The Ribbono Shel Olam exists amongst the Jewish people. And therefore, madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Why does kahal Hashem need a melech to unite it? It has the Ribbono Shel Olam to unite it directly. And to bring out that argument, Korach gave the following halachic, hashkafic proof. Tala shekulo tchelis. Does it need tzitzis or not? What's the purpose of the tzitzis? You have a beged, right, which represents your own personal covet, your own personal material, physical needs. That's what the beged protects, or whatever, gives you honor. It protects you takes away your shame. That's a beggar. But you want to elevate those things to be holy, not to just be physical, material things. So the tzitzis remind you of all the mitzvahs, and the treles reminds you of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that in all physical things you see God. The treles is domel leyam, and the yam is domel. There's another medrash that says treles is domel la'asovim. It's like grasses, and the grass is like the sea, and the sea is like the sky, and the sky is like the kisei hakavod. So whatever you see, right, you remember the Ribbono Shel Olam. It directs your mind towards Kedusha. Elevate everything towards God's throne. That's what the tzitzis are for. That's what the tchelis is for. Tzitzis to remind you of the mitzvahs, the tchelis to remind you of the Ribbono Shel Olam behind those mitzvahs. But if the whole talis is tchelis, meaning the whole person already is, everything he does, everything he is, all his kavod, all his physical things are already tchelis. They already remind him, he's already kodesh. Then does he need tzitzis? So how did Korach know that you didn't need tzitzis? Maybe you do need tzitzis. The answer is because there is a beged that's tkulo tcheles and doesn't have tzitzis. Anybody want to venture a guess what it is? Yeah? Exactly. Excellent. You will get a diploma. The me'il. The me'il was a beged that's tkulo tcheles. And it didn't have tzitzis on it. According to some, it was mamash and arba kanfas. And it didn't have tzitzis. So you see, Korach said, that if the beged is kulo tcheles, then you don't need that tzitzis to direct you towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Similarly, if the entire nation is holy, you don't need a kohen gadol to direct them. Everybody could be the kohen gadol. Another thing about the melech. If you have, what's it called, everybody is directed and united physically around the Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you need a melech for? That he said, bayis, does it need a mezuzah or not? If you have a room that has nothing in it but svarim, it's full of svarim, okay? What's the purpose of the mezuzah? Purpose of the mezuzah is to concentrate and focus your attention, that whether you're going out of your house, in your house, everything has one purpose, everything focuses around one thing, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Achdus Hashem. Right? That's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Ribbono Shel Olam unites everything. Shakai she'omar li olam odai. Everything is contained by the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore people unite around the Ribbono Shel Olam because he's the ultimate uniter. So whether in your private house, the public, private, public, everything is united around the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the purpose of the mezuzah. But what if you have a house that's full of svarim? So the house itself unites you to one common purpose. There's nothing else in it besides Sifrei Torah, which ultimately is that Ichud Hashem. So do you need a mezuzah? And there was a bayis, Mole Svarim, that didn't have mezuzah on it. What was that? The Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was nothing but the Aron. And what was in the Aron? According to some, the Luchos and the Sefer Torah. So it's bayis, Mole Svarim. It had nothing else in it except Svarim. Which wasn't full from, we don't really think Mole Svarim means that from one end to the other is full of Svarim. Mole Svarim could mean it was full of nothing except Svarim. So it didn't have mezuzah on it. There was no mezuzah on the Pesach of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was a bias Mole Svarim, didn't have mezuzah. So what do you see? You don't need something to direct your attention, to focus and unite you around the Ribbono Shel Olam if everything anyway is united to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's unnecessary. So why do we need a melech? Everybody's a melech. Everybody has that focal point. That was Korach's type. Sounds good. What was the mistake? The mistake is there's one more function of a leader. Aside from educating, inspiring, uniting, there's also another kind of tzibur. Not the kahal, the physical congregation that has to be united. Not the eda, the spiritual unification and focus on common goals and on Kedusha. There's also Yisrael. Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios Vatorah. And we've spoken about this many times, I'm not going to go into detail. But just like there are 600,000 different letters in the Torah, every letter is unique, so too there are 600,000 root souls of Klal Yisrael that also form a Torah that has to be added to the Torah. There's 600,000 letters that have to be added to the Torah to make the Torah complete. Yisrael, V'yoraisa, V'kud Shabrichu Chad. That's why it doesn't say Yeshishim Ribui Osios Ba Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, because there aren't. Only 304,000. But Yeshishim Ribui Osios La Torah. There are 600,000 Osios in addition to the written Torah that have to be considered. Those are the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael. And what I said, there are 600,000 different letters. L'chora, there aren't 600,000 different letters. The most there can be, right, is 27 different letters. Right? Because after that, it's all repetitive. It's not true. Because the bays in the beginning of Bereshis is not the same bays in the beginning of Bara. Because this is the beginning of the first word, this is the beginning of the second word. And the same word even, lemor, which happens hundreds of times in the Torah, is not the same if it, even though it follows Vayidabra Hashem El Moshe, usually, lemor, but what is follows that pasuk? Different pasuk. What comes before it? Different pasuk. There are no two letters that have the exact same position, so they're never the same. They're preceded by different letters, followed by different letters, in different sentences, in different contexts, whatever, and that makes the letter a different letter. So every letter is a unique, separate letter and has to put in its unique part to make a Torah. And if any letter is missing or in the wrong place, if you have a bunch of yuds together when they're supposed to be dispersed into various words, then it's not a Torah. So each one has to be in his specific place, meaning providing his specific mission. And therefore, you need a leader not only to unite the people and make them all holy, not only to unite the people and make them all united, but you need a leader to be able to direct each one how to function together with the others and bring out their mission in conjunction with everybody else. And that's like an orchestra leader. Okay? You can have everybody in the orchestra is an expert at playing his instrument. You don't need the orchestra leader to help the people learn how to play their instruments. They're already masters at it. So why do you need the orchestra leader for? Because even though everybody's a master at their thing, there needs to be somebody who coordinates them so they work together. That they don't just become a cacophony of instruments not playing together. So aside from uniting the people, everybody doing the same thing together, that's one, that's a kahal, right? That's the power of numbers. And you need a leader to inspire and educate and make people holy when they to perfect them. But even perfect people who are united, but they need someone to coordinate that unity be where everybody does their part the right way. Right? You have a play. Everybody can do their part, know their part excellently. But if they don't say it at the right time, in the right sequence, right, it's meaningless. Everybody gets on the stage and just says their part to get together with everybody else. There's a lot of unity. And there's maybe they're all perfect, but there's no play. Because there needs no coordination. That's Yisrael. That's the function of the leader to create Yisrael, not just an Ada and not just a Kahal. That was where Korach made the mistake. I was thinking that and that's why the raya from the Me'il and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were no raya. Because when you're talking about the collective view of Klal Yisrael, right, as a group, and the group is all Kodesh, and the group is all united, you're right. You don't need a leader for that. So the Me'il wasn't an individual beggar. The Kohen Gadol wasn't an individual. The Kohen Gadol represented all of Klal Yisrael. When you're talking about a beged of the tzibur, it wasn't his personal beged, the Me'il, it was the beged of the tzibur. When you're talking about a beged of the tzibur, Teinochanami, doesn't need chelis. If the tzibur is kulo kodesh, you don't need a Kohen Gadol for that. If the bias, it's not a bias of individuals, it's the bias of the tzibur, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A bias tziburi doesn't need a mezuzah if it's full of svarim. A beis haknesses, it doesn't need really mezuzahs. It's only a hither that we do. It's not mikra adin, unless people sleep here or whatever. Mestama in a beis haknesses, where the rabbi gives drashas, mestama people sleep there. But otherwise, doesn't need a mezuzah. But in any case, so that he was right. As the tzibur, if the tzibur is kulo kodesh and the tzibur is all united, you don't need a melech and you don't need a kohen gadol. But that's only as a tzibur. You need the Kohen Gadol and the Melech for Yechidim to coordinate the Yochid as part of the tzibur. Even if the tzibur is made up of all Yechidim who are perfect, but you need somebody to coordinate all those Yechidim together. That's still missing. That's Yisrael that you need. So his mistake was bringing a proof from the Me'il and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which were tzibur things and not individual things. That is what's it called? Thinking maybe that was the Mida Keneged Mida in Korach's, the way he was punished. The earth swallowed him up. Because everybody in this world has their Dalet Amos, right? Everybody has their place in this world, right? It says never, what's it called, discard any person, because there's no person who doesn't have his place. Every person has his place, and his place is Dalet Amos. And when, what's it called, when the person is directed to fulfill his purpose, right, so then his Dalet Amos is significant. And even more than that, I want to say a little bit deeper than that. What is a person's shira? His song. Everybody has their song to sing in this world. It's a different song than everybody else. Your song is basically using your talents, abilities, and capabilities in the proper way. That's called your shira. So when a person uses his Dalet Amos properly, and he has a direction how to use it and coordinate with others, then he sings Shira, and the Dalet Amos, the ground that he's on, is Yotze with his Shira. But if we have no coordinator, and everybody's just duplicating what everybody else is doing, true, they're united and they're all holy, but there's no coordination, then I'm not singing my Shira. So my Dalet Amos of Karka doesn't have anybody through which to be Yotze its Shira. So then the ground itself has to open its mouth and say Shira. So when the ground opened its mouth to say Shira by Korach, it swallowed him up. Because on his Dalet Amos, he wasn't doing his part. He only recognized the tzibur, right? The conglomeration of everybody. And therefore, you don't need people coordinated, just being coordinated to do their individual thing. Okay. So that's the idea of Kahal Adas Yisrael and Korach's recognition of the Kahal and the Eda, but not the Yisrael of the and the bayish moleh svarim, but not the understanding that only applies to the tzibur as a tzibur, not to the yochid as being coordinated as part of the tzibur. Okay, now let's skip to Parshas Pinchas. Another aspect of leadership, based on this. If you look in Seder Kisisa, it says the following. When the Jewish people wanted, they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was dead, and they wanted a substitute for him. So they described Moshe Rabbeinu's job, and what was the job description of what they're looking for, right? They went to Aaron and they said, "Kum asei lanu Elohim, make us a power, asher yelchu lefaneinu, who will walk in front of us." Who should walk in front of us. Because this man, Moshe, we don't know what happened to him. So we need another power, maybe not a human power, who will take his place. What was his job? Moshe walked in front of us. In this week's Sedra, coming week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu himself tells God, "We need somebody to take my place. You told me that I'm going to die before we come to Eretz Israel. So I'm concerned that you appoint someone to take over my place." And he gave the Ribbono Shel Olam his job description. Right? Yifkod Elokim, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Haruchos, Ish Al Ha'eda, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, V'Asher Yovo Lifnehem, V'Asher Yotzi'ein, V'Asher Yevi'ein. He didn't say Asher Yelchu Lifnehem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't describe his job the way they described it by the Eichel. He described it that someone who will come out from them and go back to them and bring them out and what's it called, and bring them in. Didn't say Yelchu Lifnehem. What's the difference? So I think the difference can be brought out in the machlokis between the Nemuka Yosef and the Meiri on the following Gemara. The Gemara says, Mishi Yeshlo Chola B'Sof Beso, somebody who has someone sick, Rachmanu Litzlan, in his home. So what should he do? Yelech etzel chacham. He should go to a talmid chacham. The yivakish rachamim alav. Simple meaning, and that's why the Nemuka Yosef says it. go to a Talmud Chacham, and the Talmud Chacham will daven, as we, the custom is. Right? Rachmana said, if somebody's seriously ill, you go for brachas, you go for tefillas, you tell tzaddikim to daven for them. Okay? So that's the simple meaning of the Gemara. The Me'iri says a completely different shot. The Me'iri says, if you have someone sick in your house, go to a Chacham, and he'll teach you how to daven for that person. You're not going to the Chacham to daven in your place. You have to daven. But maybe you don't know how to daven. Maybe you need some direction. So go to the Chacham, and he will teach you how to daven in an effective way that will help this person. But he's not going to daven for you. He's going to teach you how to daven. So we have two approaches to what the purpose of a leader is. According to the Mukhei Yosef, the leader does it for you. He's on a higher level. He knows how to do things. He does them. And you go to him, and he does them for you. According to the Me'iri, no, a leader doesn't do anything for you. He teaches you how to do it. And it could be there's no argument over here. But Mukhei Yosef is talking until you, the person, the tzaddik, can teach you how to daven like he does, so he'll do it for you, right? If you have to make a call and you don't know how to dial the phone, you never learned how to dial a phone, so you go to somebody and they'll dial it for you. But as they dial it for you, they'll teach you how to dial the next time you don't have to come to them. Next time you'll know how to dial yourself. But until you know how to dial, they'll make the call. But leaders don't have any direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than you do. Every Yid can daven. But you need them to teach you how to do it. That's the ikar of a leader. The leader is not Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu. The truth is, to a certain degree, this is the difference between Hasidish approach to a Rebbe and a Litvish, more Misnagdish approach to a Godel or whatever. Today, everything is mixed up anyway. But the way it was when these things were pure, each to its own, the Rebbe was more or less looked upon as somebody who did it for you. Right? You needed somebody who had a more close connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, and through the Rebbe, you were able to have your connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Misnagdish way is not like that. Right? The Rebbe is there to teach you. He doesn't have any special line. Right? He's the ikar purpose of the Rebbe is education. Teach you how to do what he can do. Except he's spent his life learning it, now he can teach you to do it too. Maybe give you a shortcut that he didn't have. But that's the difference between how they saw the ego. The people themselves understood that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who did it for them. Ashil yelchu lefaneinu. Right? He goes in front of us, he does it, we just follow, he's the one that, what's it called, that clears the path, and we go through what he did. He does it for us. And that's what they wanted an eagle, to do it for them. A power to be an intermediary between them and God. And that was bordered on Avodah Zarah. And if you don't watch it carefully, it could become Avodah Zarah. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood that wasn't his function. His function wasn't Yelchu Lifneyan, actually Yetzei Lifneyan. He goes out from amongst them. He's an inspiration. He's an example to them. And actually Yavo Lifneyan. He comes back to them. He's involved in giving them something to follow and comes back to them to teach them how to do it. Asher Yotzeim, Asher Yiviyim. He brings them out. He nurtures them to know how to follow on their own. That's the purpose. The purpose is to educate them, to make them to do the same thing he can do. That's the purpose of a leader. So, and he's like a roe. V'lo yiyah, das Hashem, katzon asher ein lohem roe. Don't let them be like sheep that have no shepherd. The shepherd doesn't do it for the sheep necessarily. He takes care of the sheep that they can do what they're supposed to do. In that respect, could be the kapara for the chet ha'ego was the poraduma, the mother. Says, bring the mother and let her be mechaper. Why? Because the eagle, they looked at it as a power to itself. But look at the mother of the eagle. The mother of the eagle brought that power. And the purpose of a mother is not to do it for the child his whole life. It's to wean the child from being dependent on the mother. It's to teach the child how to walk, not to constantly carry him. That's not the, right? You don't see, you know, an 80-year-old mother carrying her 40-year-old son, right? Usually. Okay, sometimes in Jewish circles maybe that is possible. But in any case, right, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the parent, the mother, even though she in the beginning of life, gives what the child can't do for himself, but that's not the purpose, that's not the goal. The goal is to teach the child how to do it for himself. So he doesn't need the mother anymore. That's what the leader is. The mother, not the ego. That's the lesson of the Parah, one of the lessons of the Parah Aduma. So that, I think, explains the following Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Jewish asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to appoint a successor to him, so the Ribbono Shel Olam immediately gave him the parsha of Korbanos, all the Musaf Korbanos. It's the end of this Sedra, is all we read on the Maftir of all the Yamim Tov, right? The Korbanos Musaf, the extra additional sacrifices that represent each day's special day. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Medrash says, told Moshe Rabbeinu, before you command me about my children, take care of them, command my children to take care of me properly. And the Gizem Marshal, there was a king who was dying, and the queen came to the king and said, please, what's it called, take care of, appoint somebody, an apitrop, somebody to take care of your children after you die. The king said, instead of telling me to take care of my children after I die, right, why don't you tell my children to be careful how to honor me properly? First, tell them, what's the idea over here? The idea is the following. If a leader would just be to do it for the people, then the Rebbe could appoint a leader. But if the leader's purpose is to educate the people have to know how to bring out their unique portion. That's Korbanos. Korbanos is vicariously offering yourself up to the Rebbe Shalom. And every day, just like every day, has its own specific korban, different Rosh Hashanah from Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur from Sukkot, and Sukkot from Pesach. They're all unique to that day. It's the musaf of that day. It's not the regular run-of-the-mill sacrifice every day. So too, it's not the run-of-the-mill sacrifice for every person. Every person has something else to give over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every person is unique, like we said. And that's the purpose of the leader, to coordinate. But in that the people aren't going to recognize their uniqueness, if they're not going to recognize that they have a responsibility to do it on their own, not just to let the leader do it for them, then there's no purpose for a leader. So before you command me to appoint a leader for the Jewish people, command them first to understand the purpose of a leader. He's not going to do it for you. He's going to coordinate your hakrava, your carbon. Your unique korban, just like there's unique korbanos for every day, there's a unique korban for every person. So, in order for the leader to be effective, first tell them about bringing their individual korbanos, unique ones. In fact, some say that was why Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, this week's Pirkei Avos, happens to be also coincide. Yossi ben Kisma, someone met him, he gave him shalom, and he answered him shalom. And he said, where do you come from? And he also said, I come from a city with big Talmidei Chacham. So the man said, I come from a city where there's no Talmidei Chacham. Ritzon chashetodr imanu bimkomenu. Would you like to come and live with us in our place? And I'll give you gold and silver and precious gems. No limit. Just come and live with us in our place. So you would think that here is a chance of Kiruv. Right? Yosef Kisma, and not only that, a chance of Kiruv with an unlimited budget. Right? Sounds inviting. Right? Anybody would say, yeah, I'm coming, I'll bring a whole kollel, I'll bring other people or whatever, and we'll really make your place a Makom Torah. That's how any Makom Torah ever got started. So why did Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma agree? Why did he say, you can give me all the money in the world, I'm only going to live in a Makom Torah. I'm not going to come to your place. Right? What kind of answer is that? So I have my answer or answers, and there are other answers. It tells Rashi Yevasei, you see from here, the Torah can't be built just with money. There have to be other qualities to a city to build Torah aside from money. Some places are just not mesugal to have Torah or whatever. That's right. Just because the money is there doesn't mean you can build Torah there. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma saw that wasn't going to work in that place. Okay. So others say more b'derech tzachus, not that this is the simple meaning, that Yossi ben Kisma didn't like the way that the invitation was worded. Ritzon chashetodr imanu bimkomenu, right, is redundant. You want to live with us in our place. So they say what it means is the following. Would you like to live with us in our place, in our place? In other words, you learn, you put on tefillin, you eat kosher, you'll be bimkomenu, right? You'll be our shliach, right? You'll be in our place. Instead of us having to do all these things, you do it all for us. Joseph Kisma says, I'm never going to come to a place where it's not going to be a Makom Torah itself, where you're going to do it for yourself. I'd be glad to teach you how to do it. But if you want me to do it in your place, right, instead of you, right, for you, that's no inyan. I'll live in a Makom Torah. Your place could be a Makom Torah, but only if you're willing to follow my lead and be educated. But if you want me to do it for you, you want me to do it in your place, right, and then there's nothing to talk about. That's not what a leader is all about. So therefore, and what we have in Parshas Pinchas, where Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabban Hashem to give a leader in his place and describes the purpose of the leader, unlike what they did by the Chet HaEgel, and also what's it called, the Rabban Hashem tells him, you're right, the leader has to know how to coordinate and bring out the best in each person, so each person has to know they have what to bring out. So that is the connection between Korach's mistake and ultimately what the leader of the Jewish people, what a Moshe Rabbeinu had to be, what a Kohen Gadol had to be, what anyway, a Rav and a Kehillah has to be, right? Can't be a person who just does it for everybody else. He sits and learns, and he's frum, and he can daven. He has to teach the people how to do it. Okay. Let's go back now to last week's Seder. Nothing to do with this topic. Those two were connected. Stam, interesting idea. Seder Balak is unique in the fact that it has no partials, except one. Okay? In the first inyan of Balak and Bilam, Parsha is a misnomer. We normally call it Parsha Sashavua, Parsha Sheet. It's a mistake. There is no Parsha Sashavua. There's Seder, Sedra of the Shavua. And the Sedra of the Shavua is made up of many partials. So really it should be called Parshios Hashavua. A Parsha is either a Parsha Stuma or a Parsha Psucha, relatively like paragraphs in English. Right? The Torah is split into paragraphs. Some of the paragraphs are Psuchos, which means that the sentence ends, then there's a space of at least nine letters, where you could have written nine average-sized letters, the word L'mishpechosehem, and the next paragraph starts, the next sentence starts the next line, the beginning of the line. So, sentence ends, there's a space, next one begins, that's almost like a paragraph. Then there's a Parsha Stuma. Parsha Stuma is where that sentence ends. The sentence ends, you skip then a space of nine letters, and you start the next sentence on the same line, but towards the end of the line. So there's a space between the end of this sentence and the beginning of this sentence, but it's not a new line. That's unlike what we call paragraphs, but a different kind of paragraph. So the Sedra is made up of many partials, except Balak, and we'll see there's another exception. There may be others, but if anybody knows them, let me know. But these two fit together. Seder Balak is one run-on sentence after sentence after sentence, with no paragraphs, till the end where it changes the inyan and it goes to the Mice of Shittim, with the daughters of Moab. No longer Balak goes home, Bilam goes home, end of that inyan, and there's no parshios. Why not? So the Chafetz Chaim says an idea, I'm going to tell you another idea, and I'm going to bring you also Raya to the Chafetz Chaim first. The Chafetz Chaim says, what were the purpose of these parshios? Why are there paragraphs and so on? What do they signify? So, the Gemara says, these were the places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he taught Moshe Rabbeinu and dictated the Torah, he stopped, and he told Moshe, okay, now review what I told you, think about it, ask me questions, let's discuss it, so you really understand it. So, these are the places where the Rabbanu Shalom stopped, and basically the Torah Shabbal Peh, the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbanu Shalom, and the review and the contemplation took place. He said, why? Bilam also got Dvar Hashem. God, Mamash communicated with Bilam just like he communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Not the same level. Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. The Shechina spoke through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. It spoke through the throat of Bilam. Why did Bilam remain a Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Chafetz Chaim, because Moshe Rabbeinu thought about what God told him. He pondered it. He contemplated it. He reviewed it. It made an impression on him. Bilam just kept going on. He never bothered to review, to think, to contemplate, to ponder, right? To know what's going on, never made a part of him. So it just passed him over completely. And when a person doesn't think, a human being has to think for things to make an impression on him. Unlike an animal who has instincts. which the Navi Yeshaya says, Yoda Shor Kolneu Bechamor Evus Balav, by instinct, an ox knows its owner, and a donkey knows who feeds it. But a human being doesn't even know those simple instinctive things to animals if he doesn't think. Because Yisrael lo yada, the Jewish people didn't know these simple things. They weren't instinctive to them, because they're not animals. Why? Because Amilo is spoken on, because they didn't think. If you don't think, the simplest things pass you by and make no impression. And therefore, what's it called? Bilam never thought. And therefore, the greatest thing, the Dvar Hashem, never made an impression. He remained totally absent. There's no partials in the Nevuahs. Oh, everything to do with Bilam is one run-on thing. He just kept coming and coming and coming. He never bothered to think into what was going on. Not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, not what was going on around him. So the whole thing is one run-on thing. So says the Chafetz Chaim. And that's why Bilam, when he was riding on his donkey and the donkey turned around and started talking to him, it made no impression on him. I mean, if you were walking your dog and the dog said, hey, could you take it a little slower, right? Your pace is a little fast. You'd probably scream, faint, right? Go berserk, right? Nobody ever heard a donkey speak, not Bilam either. First time in history, the last time in history, except for Mr. Ed, but behind that, what's it called, you know, the animals don't talk, right? Except I think today in the movies and the cartoons, that's all there is animals talking, because people have stopped talking, so now they have animals talking. But in any case, people have become animals, and the animals take over for the people. But in any case, normally animals don't talk, and therefore, why didn't Bilam go crazy? The answer is he never bothered to think what was going on. You don't think into anything. Everything you take in your stride just makes no impression on you. So I have a raya to the Chafetz Chaim that was the chesaron, that was the Bilam's major shortcoming. He didn't think. The Gemara says, the Medrash says. Medrash says on the Pasuk, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Mitzrim that there's going to be a plague of barad, of hail. And if you leave your cattle and your slaves in the field, they're going to be killed. So you better bring them into the house. So the Torah says, Hayoreis Devar Hashem, the person who feared God, brought his cattle and slaves in the house and they were saved. Bashir lo sam libo, and the one who didn't put his heart to it, he left them in the field and they were decimated. They were killed. So the Medrash says on that pasuk, Hayoreis Devar Hashem ze'iov. Eov, who was one of the advisors of Paro, at least according to one opinion, he lived in that period, he was a Yorei Esdvar Hashem, and when he heard Moshe Rabbeinu say there's going to be a plague of hail, and you better bring your cattle in the house, he brought them in the house. Ha'alosam libo ze Bilam, the one who didn't take it to heart, that was Bilam. It doesn't say that Asher enenu Yorei Es Hashem, Bilam was a Yorei Es Hashem too. But he was losam libo, he never bothered to think about anything. He heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said, didn't take it to heart. Didn't bother to think about it. That was Bilam's shortcoming. It wasn't that he was a Yerushalayim. It wasn't that he was a Chacham. He was lo sam libo. He didn't take anything to heart. He didn't think about it. If you don't think about it, there's no parshios, there's no place to think and to review and to contemplate. Then everything passes you by, makes no impression, and you remain a Bilam, even though you have the same potential as being a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Based on this, it makes sense why Seder Vayetze is the other. Vayetze also has no parshas. It's also one run-on thing. Because the Zohar says that Bilam and Lavan were the same person. They were Gilgul, the Gilgul of Lavan was Bilam. Lavan was Nisgalgal in Bilam. If that's the case, then Lavan had the same problem. He also didn't take anything to heart. Everything just went by, what's it called, superficially. So the same thing applies to Seder Vayetze, which deals with Lavan. So it doesn't have any parshios. Lavan, Bilam, wherever you deal with them, the Chafetz Chaim says, no parshios. So it makes sense why Vayetze would be another exception, according to what the Chafetz Chaim said. I was thinking of a different idea. And it also explains why Vayetze. And it's a good hakdama to the 3 weeks. The Nevuos of Bilam, the Rishonim say, the Achronim say, many say the same idea. The Rabbanu Shalom wanted us to know how Goyim look at us, what they see as our milas and our chesronos. And he wanted the process of Jewish history not to come through a Jewish prophet necessarily, but through a Goyish prophet. We should see how through their eyes They see the process that we have that adversary relationship with them that started with Brias HaOlam and Brias of Am Yisrael and will end with Yemos HaMashiach. So the Nevuos of Bilam represent what the Goyim would like to do, what the Rabbanu Shem forces them to do, right? How things end and how they'll end in the end. That's the, ultimately what's the Yemos HaMashiach. It all came from Bilam. When you deal with the Golus and Geula, you deal with the ups and the downs of Jewish history, with what they would like to curse and what they're forced to bless, and ultimately when Mashiach's going to come, you can't look at it piecemeal. You can't fragmentize it. You can't understand Jewish history as fragments. You can only understand it as part of a whole process. And that's the reason why we don't have separate days to mourn for the major tragedies in Klal Yisrael. We don't have special big fast days for the Crusades and fast days for all of Klal Yisrael. There's communities that have for those things that happen in their communities. But Klal Yisrael-wise, we don't have the Kamenetsky, Tachvitat, something for all of Klal Yisrael. Gzeres, what's it called, Masi Hatzlav, all of Klal Yisrael. It's all on one day, Tisha B'Av. Because it's all part of one process of Golus, Geula, and even Tisha B'Av is not just Golus, but the same Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. It's all part of one process. You can't fragmentize it. You can't have just a Yom HaShoah, a day that focuses just on the Holocaust, because the Holocaust is not something separate from the totality of Jewish history. So the proper place to put the memory of the Holocaust and the is Tisha B'Av, just like the proper place for Gzeres Tach V'Tat and Masi Hatzlav and all the other terrible tragedies of Jewish history. And all Churban Beitar and five things happen on Tisha B'Av. It's all part of a process. And therefore, there are no parshios in Seder Bola. The same thing goes in Vayetze, because Vayetze is the first Golus. The first Golus where one of the Avos went into Golus, Lavan, and there Klal Yisrael emerged. In Golus Lavan, that's where Taka, the building of Klal Yisrael is, where Yaakov is forced to leave Eretz Yisrael, which looks like destruction, that's where the building of Klal Yisrael, the main building of Klal Yisrael, okay. So there also, there's no parshios. You can't look at it as a fragment. You have to see it as one continuum, one process. So in the first parsha of Golus, and the parsha of the nevuah of the entire Goyish approach and perspective on Jewish history, there are no parshios. You have to look at it as one continuum. You can't see it piecemeal in fragments.